required. The first chapter of the first letter that he wrote and the second verse. And it reads like this in the King James Version of the Bible. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints. Everybody say that. Called to be saints.
Called
to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. I want to talk to you this morning with the help of the Lord, called to be saints. And that's what I feel like the Lord wants me to talk about today. And I've been working on this message and thinking on this message for several days and kind of feel some direction on it today. So let's all pray together, bow our heads and pray together for a moment. Let's ask God to open up our minds and hearts to understand. Lord Jesus, we pray, O God, that your word, your truth, O God, is free and it is liberty bringing. And you said that your truth would bring us freedom and liberty and set us loose from things that have us bound. And I pray today that as we preach and speak your words, O God, that you have given us to share with this group of people, that it would set people loose from the things that are holding them back from becoming what you have called and created them to be. And that it would encourage them to do the things that they already know that they should be doing and give them the courage to take a step out of faith and strike out into the darkness with the light of your truth and become a difference, to become somebody who makes a difference in their families and in the world around them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now there's an old saying that goes around. This is probably no more true of anybody than it is of me. And the saying is, he's no saint. And I was talking to a minister on the phone the other night. And I said, oh yeah, I said, when I was a young man, I was quite the handful. And that's my dad back there. He agrees with what I'm saying. Yeah, that's that man back there. We've been nose to nose before, toe to toe and nose to nose. And telling each other just exactly what we thought about each other. Yeah, you thought you were the only ones that deal with that kind of issues. Oh, we've all been there, folks. Even the preacher. And but thank God all that's behind me. And my dad should say amen to that too. Thank God that's all behind us. And now he's footloose and fancy free. And now I'm getting in the process of raising teenagers. Now I'm going to be enduring with those wonderful things.
Amen.
Because I said so. Or I'll break your neck. I know you never thought that or said anything like that to your kids. But we say things that we don't really mean when we're angry. And when our authority is challenged. And when we realize that our skill level and our skill set is just a one brick shy of a load of dealing with this thing in our house called a teenager. But I was no saint. And my mom said that this is a story that she has rehearsed many times, that until I turned, she said, I was the model child, that I never caused any problems, that I never talked back or was through temper tantrums or cried and whined and all. I was just a very godly, saintly, well-behaved child. She said, until you turn 13 years old, when you turn 13, she said, the horns popped out on your head and you became a wild child, a troubled child. And I was a troubled teenager. And I was talking to a minister friend on the phone last night. He said, I would have never, ever guessed that about you. Well, let me tell you, it's true. I'm no saint. And we worked through all of those things. And by the grace of God, by the favor of God, by the help of God, we worked through those things. And we're still working through things today. And I dare venture to say that as much as many of us in here today may think of ourselves, none of us are perfect. And we are all born into this messed up world, and messed up is who we are. Now you're either going to get with me, and we're gonna ride this hay wagon down the street and throw hay in each other's hair and yell and scream and sing stupid songs and try to scare each other and just have a good time, or you can stay back over there and sit on that hay bale around the fire and just be a funny guy. That's up to you what you want to do this morning. We can have a good time, we can laugh and enjoy ourselves and God can speak to us, or we can fold our arms and put up our defenses. Come on now, we're all messed up. Messed up is who we are. And the quicker you realize that you're messed up, the quicker you'll move forward in your life. The quicker you realize that it's not everybody else's fault that you are the way you are, but that you're we're all adults in here, I think. That you're an adult and you're responsible for your decisions, and if you can actually change the way you are, maybe you can make some decisions that will turn things around. We might as well just admit it. We are born into a messed up world, and messed up is who we are. David, the king in the Old Testament of the Jews, he said, I was born in sin. And while I was in my mother's womb, as I was being shaped and the cells were differentiating inside my mother's womb, I was shapen in iniquity. That's who we are today. And you'll always be who you are. We've got a rose bush in our front, by our front door, and it's a prize rose bush, and it brings gigantic pink roses about the color of Hazel's sweater. And I bet some of them can get 6 inches across. Beautiful roses that grow there. And we've been in that house for about 9 or 10 years now, and every year my wife faithfully clips and trims and prunes, and we have beautiful roses all summer long. Until last summer, something weird happened last summer. And this gnarly, scraggly little rose branch grew up in our prize rose bush and poked its head up, and it grew in these little ugly red climbing roses came off of that thing. And I was just like, what in the world has happened to my poor prize rose bush? Somebody has injected my rose bush with poison. And then I have learned a few things over the years about grafting and this and that. Then it dawned on me that prize rose bush is not normal. That prize rose bush, they don't normally grow like that. They've been genetically altered to look like that. And they can't grow by themselves. They have to be grafted onto a generic rose bush rootstock. And apparently, after all these years, the generic red climbing rose rootstock that prized genetically altered rose bush was grafted into, exerted its influence, and pushed out, and to let everybody know who it really is. You will always be who you are, no matter how hard you try to hide it, no matter how you cover it up, you'll always be who you are. Because that's who you are. And when we're full of evil and wickedness and sin, and when we're full of ourselves and the systems of this world, then that's what we will be. There's an old saying that you are what you eat, but Jesus said that's not true. You're not what you eat. He said what you eat, you chew it up and you digest it, and then your body eradicates it. But he said who you are is what comes out of you, not what you put into yourself. And he said it's what comes out of your heart. That's who you are. And the Bible says that whatever is in your heart, those are the things you're going to speak, and those are the things you're going to do. You can't help but be who you are. But I've got some good news for you today. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on negative stuff. Preachers are funny because they can spend a lot of time talking. There's just something about talking about negative things that just really, I don't know what it is. Man, it's just fun to talk about negative stuff. But I've got some good news today. The good news is this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to change who we are. To change us back to who He originally intended us to be. From all of the confusion and all of the mistakes and all of the messes that Adam and Eve got us into, and that every man and woman has got us into, and the messes that our parents have got us into and our grandparents have got us into, Jesus Christ came to change who we are, and as a result of changing who we are, changed who we could become. In John chapter 17 and verse 19, Jesus said this in His prayer. He said, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified in the truth." The Bible says that when we are in Christ, that when we join ourselves to Jesus Christ, that all things are done away with, and that our whole entire life becomes new. That God literally pulls up all of the roots and everything that we are and plants a new seed in our lives, and we begin to become something new than what we were before. We become new creations in Jesus Christ. And over a period of years, and over through experiences, and over mountains and through valleys, and through hardships and trials, and through positive experiences and negative experiences, and through studying the Word, and through being shoved into a room with a bunch of weird people that we don't really like, we learn about ourselves, and we learn how to put up and how to get along with other people. And through the process of belonging to the church, God teaches us, and He allows that seed to grow inside of us, and we become something different. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "We are being changed into the same image." The Bible says that Jesus was the very image of God. So what that means is that we are being changed, Brother Davis. Your wife didn't know this, but when she marries you, when God fills you with the Spirit, that she married a Son of God, and little by little, eventually you're going to be, one of these days, you're going to be just like God. But you ain't going to sink yet. Right? We got a long way to go, folks, and God is changing us. But we can never achieve, we can never change, we can never get to the place where we want to be and where we really feel like we're making progress until God changes who we are. And He does that by giving us what is called the promise of the Father, the promise that God would send His Spirit into our lives. And when God fills us with His Spirit, the Bible says in John chapter 3, at the beginning of His discussion with a Jewish man named Nicodemus, He said that you will be born again. How many of you ever heard that phrase thrown around about Christians being born again? What that means is that, and the guy that Jesus discussed it with was really confused about it, and Jesus looked at him, and this guy was a pretty smart, educated man. He said, "You need to be born again, Nicodemus." And Nicodemus said, "How am I supposed to be born again? Do you expect me to crawl back into my mother's womb and be born again?" That would be a pretty picture. Talk about a turducken. What would you call that? That would be a strange experience. And Jesus said, "You know what, buddy? As smart as you are, you're just as dumb as a box of rocks. You've got to be born again inside. You have got to be born again inside. You have got to start over, all over, inside, in your spirit and in your heart." In the Old Testament, I believe it was the prophet Jeremiah, he said, through under the inspiration of God, he said, One of these days, God's going to come, and He's going to take the old, hard, stony, scarred heart out of you, and He's going to put inside of you a heart of flesh, a brand new heart that pulsates and beats with life, not a heart that has been attacked by sin and that has been destroyed by blockages and is barely pulsating, keeping you alive. But He is going to put a new heart and a new spirit, the Bible says, inside of you. And because Jesus came and sanctified Himself, you and I can also be sanctified. Well, there's a fancy word right there, isn't it? Sanctification. Sanctify. What does that mean? And if we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul says something interesting. I love Paul because he always says these really crazy things that you have to think about. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, listen to what he says. To them which are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And so God told me, He said, call to be saints. Preach on that Sunday morning. So, Rhonda, I was like, so what is a saint? That's one of the things. I guess you know what a saint is, but you know if they're a saint or an ain't. What's a saint? So I looked it up, and I found out that a saint, it means the exact same thing as sanctified. And what Paul was saying was, to them that are sanctified, called to be sanctified. I got something growing in my head, I don't know what it is. Called, he said, that we were sanctified, and then called to be sanctified. And what that means is God changed who we were so that we could be who He wants us to be. That God changed our nature inside spiritually so that we could then become something spiritual. You can't be spiritual until God makes you spiritual. You can't act holy and Christian and all of this stuff until God makes you a Christian. And so he says, we are sanctified in Jesus Christ because he sacrificed himself on Calvary, because he set himself apart for a special mission by God. God, through him, sanctifies us, sets us apart to be something different, to be somebody different than everybody else in the world. And he puts his spirit inside of us. He rebirths us spiritually. And he puts his divine energy inside of us. And it empowers us to progressively change our lives. I did a little study about this how to become a saint thing on the internet. And wouldn't you know, if you go to www.howstuffworks.com, it will tell you how to become a saint. The internet's an amazing thing, I'm here to tell you. And I want to refer it to you. And this is specifically in the Catholic Church, but I thought it interesting to look at. And I may or may not agree with all the things that they believe and that they have to say about becoming a saint, but I still thought it interesting. And it's called the process of canonization. And they're not even allowed to talk about it until 5 years after you're dead, to ensure objectivity. And then one of the local bishops will investigate your life and your writings for evidence of heroic value. And when all of this information has been compiled, when all of this testimony has been compiled, then it's sent to the Vatican in Rome and is reviewed by theologians and all of these people that are studying up in this area. And then there, once you have been approved, then the process continues on, and it's a process called beatification. And you have to perform a miracle posthumously, which means that after you're dead, you have to perform a miracle. And the way that it works is that a region, an area, or a group of people will take you on as their saint. It's called beatification. For example, if at the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church, somebody was stricken with cancer and they had a vision, and in this vision, Sister Opal Tyree appeared to them and said, "The Lord is going to heal you." That would be considered a posthumous miracle. And then you woke up and you were healed of cancer. And then Opal Tyree would be accepted as a saint, and maybe even for your church or your family, a patron saint. And then as the process continued on, then it would require a second posthumous miracle to take place. And in specific, that if somebody was praying to this individual person for their help, and they brought it to them. Now, I'm not saying that I agree or disagree with this process, or that I fully understand it, but what I am saying is this. Jesus came to change who we are. And you can't become a saint until you are a saint. And Jesus, because of His sacrifice on Calvary, when you put your faith in Him, and you lay out your life before Him and say, "God, I am messed up. I live in a messed up world, and I've got a messed up life, and I need your help. And I want you to wash all that away." And Jesus forgives you of your sins, and you are baptized in His name. You actually become a member of God's family, and then He fills you with His divine Spirit, the gift of His Spirit. Literally, you are born again. You become a saint by virtue of being associated spiritually with Jesus Christ. And what I thought about interesting about the canonization process for becoming a saint in the Catholic Church is it is a progressive process. It is a process that takes time. You have to live the life and die before you can ever even be considered. And so what I want to say, and this is what Paul is saying, is you have been sanctified by Jesus. You have been changed. You have been set aside and set apart for God's purposes by Jesus Christ. So now you need to live a sanctified life. To live like the person you have become. It says in the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, he said, "You need to be holy in all that you do because God is holy." Because you've been born by His Spirit and you are now holy or set apart or sanctified, you need to live a sanctified life. Your life needs to begin to reflect the changes that God has made inside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 in the New Living Translation says, "Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God." Now I'm going to make an illustration quickly here for you. I have a nice car. It's not an expensive car. It looks expensive, but it's not. And I guarantee you, I paid less than 20 grand for that car. So it's not, if you see a guy driving a Ford F-150, he paid twice as much as I did for my car. So don't worry, the preacher's not getting rich off of the money. Besides that, the church didn't even pay for that vehicle. But anyway, that all said, it has beautiful white leather seats. Now, anybody that has young children that gets a car with white leather seats, they need to have their head examined. And not only that, but last summer we were driving a bunch of guys around that were tearing off roofs in that car. And it has two different kinds of leather. On the outside edges, it has a very soft, supple leather. And it's like perpetually clean. It doesn't seem like it can ever get dirty. But on the very part where you sit, it has two strips of a really hard leather, a little bit tougher to withstand the pressure of somebody sitting on it, maybe a key scraping over it, whatever. Very tough letter, and it just gets dirty. And I've tried everything to clean that white leather. You know what I mean? Bringing out I got the Armor All, you know. How many of you ever use Armor All? Well, Armor All don't work on white leather seats. All it does is shine up the dirt. And I tried several different things, and nothing seemed to work. And I got so frustrated. So you know what I did, don't you? I went to the internet, that's right. I went to the internet. How to clean white leather seats. Google. And I pulled up a YouTube video, and there's a car detailed guys that were giving suggestions, and they said, what you need is a stiff, bristled nylon brush. And I was like, my white leather seats. And you need to get a citrus cleaner. And then you need to spray that stuff on there, and you need to scrub the leather. So you know what I did, don't you? I got a spray bottle of orange citrus cleaner, and I got me a nylon stiff bristle brush, which you've used before. And I'm not talking about one of those soft ones that you put in to clean your tires. I'm talking about on one side it's got bristles that'll tear the hide off your skin. The other side are just a little bit softer, and I got that thing, and I wet that thing down, and I scrubbed on that leather, and would you believe those white leather seats came clean? And I was amazed. And then you have to go back and re-oil the leather because you really clean it out, and you have to put some new oil. And you have to have the right chemicals. You could have cleaned out your underneath your kitchen sink and put everything you had in there and thrown everything at it, it would not clean those white leather seats. But you had to have the right chemical to do it, and you had to put some elbow grease in it. Sometimes I was so afraid, Gina, to damage that. I didn't want to do the wrong thing, you know. But I'm here to tell you today. Paul said, because you are holy or set apart or sanctified or made especially in God's image to do God's purposes, then you need to live your life like you are. Who you are. Who you have become in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. When God fills you with His Spirit, you will never, ever be the same.
Right.
You can come to church all you want to. And you can fan church door all you want to. And you can give all the money you want to give. And you can pray and you can do all sorts of things. But when God fills you with His Spirit, He changes who you are inside. And when God changes who you are inside, you will never be the same again. You will stand out from the crowd. God didn't call us to blend in. God didn't call us to fit in. God called us to stand out from the crowd. And when you have the Spirit of the living God, when you have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ living down inside of you, the Bible says people will take note of you and say there's something different about you. Why? Because you've been changed. You've been sanctified. You've been made something different. And because you've been made something different, you see the world differently. I deal with different people and when you deal with people that have not been changed by God's Spirit in their lives, you can tell the difference between them and people that have been changed. You can see the seething, boiling inside of them. You can taste the dirt. And how many of you ever ate dirt before? It's kind of crunchy, isn't it? A little grainy. Everybody's ate dirt before. Whether you're at the beach and you got sand in your mouth, or you were cleaning the garden, or you were just a kid making mud pies and eating worms, whatever it was, everybody's had dirt before. And it's crunchy. You don't like it. Don't taste good, does it? And you can tell when you're around people that are not changed by the Spirit of God, and stuff is inside of them and it comes out of their mouths and they say things and And you can feel it. And if you're around them long enough, you almost feel like you're covered in dirt. And I'm not trying to make it look like we're something special. We're not. No, we have been changed by the Spirit of God. And when God changes you, you will never be the same again. Because you'll always be what you are. And if you decide the church isn't the thing for you, but God filled you with His Spirit, you won't even make a good sinner after that. Some of the worst sinners are people that have been filled with the Spirit and have turned their back on God. They don't just sin like everybody else does. They gotta prove themselves. And so when they sin just a little bit worse than everybody else does. And they do things just a little bit more twisted than everybody else does. And even sinners will look at them and go, man, they're strung out. Now it's pretty bad when a bunch of strung out people look at you and say, you're strung out. You know why? Because you'll always be what you are. And when God changes your nature, you cannot help but be who you are. You can roll around in the mud like a pig. You can eat your vomit like a dog does. And you can make yourself look like the nastiest, most gruesome person in the world. But if you have been filled and changed by God's Spirit, it somehow manages to see God. Something about being around somebody who has been changed by God's Spirit. They may not be perfect. Their leather may be a little bit stained, shall we say. And they may be in desperate need of some citrus orange cleaner and a stiff bristled nylon brush and some elbow grease. They may still be in the process of becoming what they were made. But regardless, you can sense something is different in their lives. And we might find excuses because of their imperfections to discount what we felt when we were around them. But the difference was real nonetheless. God has called us to be saints. And a saint is somebody who has been made different than everybody else. A saint is somebody that doesn't blend in with the crowd. A saint is somebody that is set aside for God's purposes and God's plans in the earth. And God has changed them and made them something different. We are called to be saints. Now, whether or not you ever get canonized is irrelevant. Whether or not you ever get a beautification, and whether or not you perform a posthumous miracle is irrelevant. What's relevant is, are you becoming what God made you to be? I was reading a story that somebody posted on Facebook, and it was a good enough one that I actually remembered it. And there was a local farmer, and he tried going to church a couple of times, and he went out there, and every time he went, he got irked because there was somebody there that he knew that was a rank sinner. But they would come to church and just be like, sing, you know, and you just greet everybody and act like nothing was wrong. And it just really irritated that poor farmer. And he would go home and tell everybody, don't go to that church because there are hypocrites at that church. Don't go to that church because there are people at that church that say they're Christians, but I know they're really not. And he was bad-mouthing the church and running it down because it had some knuckleheads in it. I've never been to a church, and I've been to churches from the East Coast to the West Coast that didn't have a couple of knuckleheads in it. So the pastor came to visit the farmer, and he happened to be a pig farmer, and came to visit him at his farm, and he said, I want to buy a pig from you. And the farmer said, okay, I'll take you around and show you the ones I got. So he took him around, and he showed him all his pigs, and the farmer had this old scrawny pig. I was strong with them. Nasty looking. Runt of the litter. And he said, I want that pig right there. And he said, well, what do you want that pig for? That's the runt of the litter. It's a scrawny pig. Take one of these other ones over here that are plump and juicy and that look like something, you know, and you have some, get your money's worth out of it. The farm, and the pastor said no to the farmer. He said, I want that scrawny pig. The farmer said, well, okay, well, suit yourself. So he sold him the scrawny pig, and then when he was getting ready to leave, the pastor said, now, I'm going to take this pig and I'm going to show it off to everybody that I know. And I'm going to tell them that I bought it from you. And he said, no, don't do that. Why are you going to do that? He said, well, ain't no different than what you're doing about my church. You're running around showing off a couple of knuckleheads that are still trying to get their act together and God's still working on it in my church, as though everybody in my church is like that. Ain't no different than that. He's showing your scrawny pig off. Because we have been sanctified, we are called to be sanctified. Because we have been changed and made somebody different, we are called to be somebody different. And we've got to scrub ourselves and cleanse ourselves and purify ourselves and live up to the reputation that God has given us access to. Let's all stand together right now for a moment, if you would. I might first take a moment to pray together. We are called to be saints, folks. God did not send His Son into the world to die for our sins, so that we can continue to mess up and miss the target and do everything that God hates. God wasn't just wasting His time and just giving us a freebie out there. God was doing that so that we could have access to become somebody who is different. People who are different. And I'm not just talking about what you wear. I'm not just talking about what you say. I'm not just talking about the places that you go. God sent His Son into the earth to die for our sins so that then He could, after Calvary, to have a Pentecost, 50 days later, the next celebration of the Jews, God poured out His Spirit. He gave His Spirit to people to literally change them from the inside out. You can't pretty up and fix yourself up because you'll always be what you are. But when God changes the inside, the outside will blossom like in rose. Let's bow our heads together. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, You've called us.